And so the Spirit this morning is speaking to who? Hallelujah. What a mighty God. Oh, turn off this mic. Turn on this mic. Hallelujah. Am I there? Test. Hallelujah. There we go. That's a backup. Sometimes I get carried away and hold that thing too long. I like to be a little bit free. Anybody know that? God wants you to be free. And who he has set free is? Oh, some people this morning have been set free. And some of us are still struggling. Some of us are still holding on to things. Say things. Some of us are still holding on to things that's holding us back, and we won't let things go. We've been holding on. Some of us have been holding on to them for 30 years or so. And today the Lord has set you free. What a mighty God we serve. Amen. Amen. This morning I want to talk to you about this king. His name was Asa, and this is in 2 Chronicles in the Old Testament, chapter 15. And Asa was a man. If you ever read through these Chronicles, it talks about the different kings, and each one, it says that they did evil in the sight of the Lord, and this king, and then they had this king, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord. And then come along this fella, this king called Asa, and the word says it like this, that he did what was right in the sight of the Lord. And I want to encourage you this morning to do what's right. Amen. How many of you know it's time for us to rise up and start doing what's right? Well, I want to talk to you a little bit about what this prophet Azariah came and told him. He said, watch this, 2 Chronicles 15 and verse 3. For a long time, say long time. For a long time, Israel has been without a true God, without a teaching priest, and without the law. And sometimes we go a long time trying to do things in our own strength. 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 5 says, and in those times there was no peace. Say no peace. There was no peace to no one who went out nor to anyone who came in. For great turmoils was on all of the inhabitants of the land. So the nations were destroyed by nations and cities by cities. For God troubled them with every adversity. Amen. What? Did you just hear what that word said? God troubled them with every adversity. City upon city, nations, people are having troubles all over the place. Does that sound like a world we live in? Yes, it does to me. And I'm here to tell you that. So in other words, watch this. With no God, conflicts arise. Conflicts arise in our lives if we have no God. There is conflicts with our spouses. There's conflicts with our children. There's political conflicts. There's conflicts in family members. There's problems in our workplace. We can't have no peace. That's some good English, huh? We can't have no peace because of all of the stuff and the situations we have got ourselves involved in with no true God, with no true teachings, with no true law to guide us. Whatever and wherever we go, troubles will follow us when we're not following Jesus. Sounds like some people I know. No God, no peace. Now watch this. Verse 6 says it like this, huh? For God troubled them with every adversity. Sometimes we think, oh, the devil's just doing things to me. How many of you know the devil can't do nothing that God won't allow him to do? In case you haven't realized that, I hear people say, the devil just did it. The devil got the best of me. And the devil can't do nothing unless the Lord God Almighty allowed him into our lives. How many of you know that we have accepted some things in our lives that we need to reject? There's some demonic activity that's happening in our homes that we've opened the door to. We've allowed in our own homes, and we're trying to blame TV. We're trying to blame culture. We're trying to blame the teachers. We're trying to blame the principals, the presidents. We're trying to blame our spouses. We're blaming the kids. We're anywhere other than on ourselves. How many of you know it's time for us as people, as Christians, to rise up above the stuff and realize that God is in control? Do you know he's in control? Do you know that he can do all things? Do we want to go one more time around that mountain and just have troubles and problems and issues and trying to figure life out? I've seen so many people have zoomed up to God and then got all excited about church and then fizzled out. What happened? What happened? What? They wasn't planning for their future. They wasn't expecting God to be there for them. How many of you know God will never leave you nor forsake you? Have you heard the word? Do you realize that God is there for you each and every day? Quit trying to blame somebody else. It was amazing to me yesterday. I went to this wonderful football game. If y'all hadn't known that, these little guys were playing football. It was my grandson, Isaac. And in the midst of playing the football, man, they had this one fella that was standing up at the fence. Now, I have to tell you, I do like football a little bit. I like playing it more than watching it. But the idea was, is this one fella was starting to get on my nerves. Anybody ever get, do you ever see somebody get on? She knows exactly who I was talking about. This one fella was getting on my nerves because they were beating the heck out of us. They were like 40, what was the end score, 49? 48-6. Okay, they were beating us. And this guy was on the sideline and he was going, "Coach," he's hollering. I said, I felt like saying, "Hey, if you want to be a coach, go out there and join the coach and volunteer your time and effort. Don't holler and scream at these precious kids that are out there trying to figure it out." But what I'm saying this morning is sometimes we sit on the sidelines and we want to fuss about it, what everybody else is doing. Sometimes as Christians, we look around and we want to blame somebody else. We want to, have you been around here for the last couple of weeks? If you're not, I'll just give you a little quick. 2 weeks ago, I talked about reaping and sowing. Last week, I talked about how we need to invest our lives, the time, talents, and treasures into the kingdom of God. But if God's not in it, why are we in it? We get ourselves caught up in all kind of stuff and we try to solve our own problems and our spiritual dysfunction. We try to pull up the old man's nature every now and then and try to solve problems and try to help somebody else solve their problems, and we struggle in ourselves. How many of you know God wants us to repent and come to the knowledge of Him? If we're trying to solve things in our flesh, it's amazing to me how many opinions are out there. Have you ever had a few come tell you all about what you should be doing? Excuse me just a minute. Well, you can hear all kind of opinions and all kind of people got situations, but to me, I'm listening because I'm wanting to hear God's voice. How many of you know God can speak through anybody and anything? He spoke. Well, anyway, he can speak to us through a lot of different situations, but a lot of times we tune him out. We turn it down, the volume, when the Lord's speaking to us, because we don't want to repent. We don't want to get religious. We don't want the Holy Ghost. We don't want, how many of you know the Lord sent us the Holy Spirit as a helper? Said he can help us get through the hard times. How many of you have been through some hard times? Amen. Well, if we're trying to solve things in our flesh, if we're trying to figure things out, how many of you know we're just asking for trouble? We're just trying to get through and do things in our own strength and trying to figure it out and trying to apply what we have learned, our vast amount of knowledge, and apply it to our lives to figure out, well, if I do this, then. Have you ever tried this and that and the other? And then you said, "Lord, okay, I surrender. Lord, I can no longer do this in my own strength." And he says, "Really? You had me confused." How many times did we try to fix things in ourselves and we try to work it out and we probably end up blaming somebody, like a church or a pastor or a spouse or a kid or people. Have you ever figured out that there everybody can, if you, I say this a lot around here, if you want to look for a problem, you'll find one. If you walk around this building, you'll find paint that needs to be done. You'll find trim that might be broken. If you'll find some stains on the carpet, you might find a wet ceiling tile. You might find a light bulb out. If you're looking for the troubles, how many of you know you can find them? Now, I'm just talking about all the natural things, but there's a lot of folks that like to inspect the spirit. We call them fruit inspectors. They want to look around at everybody else's issues and problems and then tell, "Oh, did you see?" How many of you know God didn't call you to be that fruit inspector? He called you to examine your own life. And as we examine our own lives and as we pray and seek God's face, like Carol said, she was sitting on the porch Oh my goodness. And she let her light shine. The word says it like this: let your light shine before men that they might see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So when we start glorifying God, when we start doing what we're called to do, being where we're called to be, doing what we're called to do, being what we're called to be, doing what we're called to do, being where we're called to be, then you'll see the glory of the Lord. I gotta use you, Mike. It's okay. I'm going to use you, okay? Bob's gone. I got to pick on somebody. Hallelujah. You need to move up to the front row. Now, I was talking with Mike this morning. And he said, you know, for a long time I struggled and I fret and I had issues. And man, you did things that hurt my feelings and other people's hurt my feelings. And he says, but then I put all that aside and I found the relationship that I needed with the Lord Jesus Christ. When we're seeking Him, how many of you know He will be found by you? When we go after God with all of our heart, mind, and soul, not just a little bit of it. You see, because the word says all. Say all. What does all mean? All of it. You know, well, I can't do that. I'm not talking about giving up your whole life and just do, you know, standing at an altar praying. No, I'm talking about living your life for Jesus. Say live. Living our life for Jesus instead of just existing and doing things for doing things' sake. God wants us to trust Him and walk with Him and dine with Him. We can't fix things because they're spiritual matters. We can't fix things because we need to trust and walk with Jesus. How many of you know He's got the answer? He's got the answer that you need today. Uh-oh. Do you know He has the answer for you where you are today? You know, sometimes we look at things and we say, let me think about that. But I'm here to tell you today God's got a word for you. It may not come from me. It may have come from Shari. It may have come from Carol. It may have come from, you didn't talk. It may have come from Miss Gloria. You may have even shook Murray's hand. And that was something happened when you, God's mingling in the body of Christ. He's communing with you through His own body. We're called to be a church. I hear people say this, especially on Facebook. I'm a Facebooker, okay? I'm sorry, but I just get amazed at the things people will say. I don't need church. Well, okay. You know, it's like, well, I don't know about you, but the Bible says don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. The Bible says that God created the church, amen? The Bible says that we can't say that we have no need. Say need. Of each other, because we do. We have need of each other. We learn to, like Tolu said, Tolu? Did I do it right that time? I got it. Tolu said a couple of times, what did she say? No, I'm confused. Oh, well. She was saying that, you know, you can't just do, you got to get involved. You got to get into God's presence. You just can't be on the fringes and say, well, God bless me. How many of you know He loves you so much that He sent His only Son, Jesus, though He would die so that we could all have that life? That no flesh should boast. Whenever you see yourself proud and boastful and trying to tell other people what you think instead of what the Bible says, how many of you know you can end up in trouble? Because we all have quite a few opinions. Let me just ask you this. Have your opinions ever changed? All right, let me say it like this. Is there anyone here that opinion has never changed? You've been the same your whole life. What changed your opinion? You've been the same your whole life? Okay, it'll happen. It's coming. But your opinions start changing, and all of a sudden you start realizing that God is in control. And when He starts giving you wisdom, and all of a sudden He starts giving you little glimpses of knowledge and insight, all of a sudden you're like, wow. Have you ever thought to yourself, I never thought of it like that before. I never read it like that before. I never read the Bible and been enlightened so much like I have been this time. I never went to a church and they said something like this before. What? God is here this morning and He's stirring your heart, and He's trying to wake us up and get us to a point of understanding of who He is. Watch this. Proverbs chapter 3 and 5. You've heard it 1,000 times. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Careful, listen. And lean not on your own understanding. I'm going to just repeat that part. And lean not on your own understanding. Sometimes we try to understand things. We're trying to figure it out. We're trying to totally get it. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Watch this, and he will direct your path. Do not be wise in your own eyes. There's a lot of people that think they're wise in their own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil, and there will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. How many of you need a little health in your flesh and strength in your bones? Well, you know what? All we got to do is start trusting. We got to start trusting. Well, that's all. Trusting. That's a big thing. Let it go. Say, let it go. And let God lead you into where you need to be. Thank you, Jesus. Can you say thank you, Jesus? You see, the Old Testament people had to deal with the activity, the act of wrath of God. I mean, you know, you had like fire and brimstone, and you had the flood came, and the earth opened up and swallowed up people. And today, because of Jesus, oh, say thank you, Jesus. We have to deal with the passive wrath of God. In other words, we can do what we want to do, but our will sometimes, well, most of the time, our will causes us problems. Lord, not your will be done, but mine, the way we want to say it, hear it, and read it. But the idea is that it's not our will, but his be done. Watch this, Romans chapter 8 and 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all, say all, against all ungodliness, unrighteousness of man, who suppresses the truth in unrighteousness. We suppress, we hold back the truth. We don't want the truth to bring us revelation. We suppress it. We just want to look past. Well, you know what? I don't have to deal with that right now, so I'm not going to deal with it. I'll just suppress it, hold it down. Let not God arise in my life. Word says, when God arise, let my enemies be scattered. Anybody ready for some help? Jesus. Suppress the truth with unrighteousness. God's word is truth. How many of you know his word is truth? Romans chapter 1 and 24 says, therefore God also gave them up to uncleanliness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies amongst themselves. God says, you know what? You want it? Go ahead. You can do whatever you want to do. Who exchanges the truth of God for a lie. We want to believe the devil. We want to believe that it's okay. I can do this. We want to believe and truly understand and think, well, it's okay. God understands me. He knows my... I say this in a lot of... He knows my heart. Ooh, yes, he does. He's watching. He's judging. He's listening. He's listening to everything. Every word that comes out of our mouth. The word that talks about every hair on our heads numbered. God knows exactly what's going on. To exchange the truth for the lie, and we want to worship and serve the creature, mankind. We trust in ourselves. We want to believe that we got this. We worship the creature and not the creator, rather than the creator, who is blessed forever. How many of you know God is blessed? He is a mighty God. He has all the answers. Amen? Amen? Amen. Okay, just waiting to make sure y'all still awake. Nobody fell asleep yet? Okay. Romans chapter 1 and 26. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. God says, okay, you want it? Go for it. Go for it. Romans 1 and 28 says, God gave them up over to a depraved, debased mind, to those things which are not fitting. You know what? Sometimes we're doing things and we don't realize that they're destroying us. We're allowing things into our home and into our mind, into our heart, into our day-to-day life. And it's just, how many of you know the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy? He comes to mess up our lives. He's coming to take away the joy of the Lord. But we serve a King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In other words, we have free will to do whatever we want to do. Many, many people will choose to follow the world. Many people will choose. But Mom said, you ever heard this one? How many of you ever heard this one? Oh, you probably said it. Everybody's doing it. Anybody ever said that one? And of course, our mother said, if they jump off the bridge, you're going to follow them? How many of you heard that one? And too many times we just want to just tell God, Lord, that's old stuff. Everybody's doing this now. You know, Lord, you got to get with it. How many of you know the Word says He's the same yesterday, today, and forever? He changes not. He's the same God. He's the same King of kings and Lord of lords. Many of us choose to follow the deception, to follow the stuff that's taking us away, pulling us away from the kingdom of God. But we choose, watch this. When we make those choices, when we choose to follow the world, we open up a space, a God vacuum. We take all of God out of it, our life. And you know what? Sometimes people say, no, I believe in God. You know what the Word says? That the devil believes in God. So just believing is not what it's all about. I heard people, if you just believe, you're okay. I believe in God, so I'm okay. No, we're not. That's not what the Word says. Like it says, it does say this. Listen, the devil believes in God. And the demons shudder. They worry. They shake because they know their time is coming. We can do, when we create this God space, when we create this God vacuum, it's the place that God used to be. So then we have to deal with, watch this, consequences. Oh, boy, we don't like dealing with consequences. We don't. When we create that God vacuum, the gap in our life that God should be filling, that we empty the God space and it's filled, it's called displacement. You know what I'm talking about? Displacement. You know what I'm talking about? Displacement. When we create the displacement, you know, I think, I can't remember one of those old scientists a long time ago. It says this, nature abhors a vacuum. Anybody know who said that? Socrates was one of them famous old scientist guys. They said, it said nature abhors a vacuum. If there's a space empty, then things fall into it. If we create a God vacuum, if we don't have God in our lives, then we have a vacancy. And I'm here to tell you that if we don't put God in that space, then we will, say I will, we'll start filling it with stuff. We'll start filling it with things. We'll start putting stuff that we think is more important. I've got to do this and I've got to do that. Oh my goodness. You find yourself making excuses and there's a displacement happening right now in the body of Christ. There's many people trying to figure out where can I place God? I'll put him over here. I'll stick him up on my shelf over here and that way I can go get him on Sunday morning and put him on. Hallelujah. We put on the Lord Jesus Christ and come to church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we dance and sing and praise the Lord. And then we go home and we take Jesus off. And now you stay there. I'll be back next Sunday morning early and put you back on. How many of you know that's not going to work anymore? It never did work. People have deceived themselves. The Word says, don't be deceived. God's not mocked. A man shall reap what he sows. We learned that 2 weeks ago. Romans chapter 1 and 18. Watch this. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth of unrighteousness. Watch this. That's what I read earlier. Now watch. Because what may be known of God is manifested to them, for God has shown it to them. How many of you know God's showing us day by day? Line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. We learn, we mature, we grow, we start evaluating life, we start deciding, watch this, we start deciding what we're going to believe. Uh-oh. We start believing, we start deciding what we want to believe and what we will reject. Well, you know, I'm here to tell you the Word of God is truth. And it's time for us to read the Word of God and allow the Word of God to come and open up our minds and open up our insight and allow Jesus, say Jesus, to come on in and dine with you. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen. I don't know about you, but every time I can see the sun come up over the Gulf. Every time I drive down the highway and I go on vacation in the mountains and drive through all of the mountains, and you see what I call the glory of the Lord. Can you just look around and see that God is, oh, He's so awesome. He's such a great God. Do you get to see all of the good stuff, or are you looking for all of the bad stuff in the people? Are you looking for all of the problems in life? Are you looking for the stains on the carpet, huh, in your spiritual life? Are you looking for the issues in your life? His invisible attributes are clearly, say clearly, clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Without excuse. You can try to put in those excuses that we all have. Sometimes we carry around a few excuses in each pocket. And if we don't like that one, I got one more. It's amazing to me. You know, the word says that I was young and now I'm old, and I have yet to see the children of God forsaken, or His seed out begging bread. You ever read that scripture? Watch this. People come and knock on the door at the church all the time. Oh, I'm broke. I'm out of gas. I don't have this. I don't have that. I don't have the other. And I understand that sometimes we go through some highs and lows in life, but the worst of us are better off than a lot of other people in the world. How many of you know what I'm saying? And there's a lot of folks looking for the stuff, but they don't want the Jesus of the stuff. They don't want to fill the God vacuum in their life with Jesus. They don't want to fill God. We are without excuse, the Word says. We can make up a bunch of them. How many? Don't raise your hand here, okay? We've all made up a few excuses. We've all said, well, yeah, but I got, and because this, and I knew, we've got a load of them. Watch this, 21. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were they thankful, but become futile in their thoughts, and their foolishness of hearts were darkened. How many of you know that if you leave yourself, if you walk away from the glory, if you walk away from the light, if you walk away from, God says, you know, I really don't want you to go. But if you absolutely want to, go ahead. It's called free will. How many of you got free will? In case you didn't know what y'all do. We all have that free will. We can do exactly what we want. Watch this. Professing to be wise, they become fools. So in other words, God releases us to do whatever we want to do. But there's built-in side effects. Have you ever listened to these new drug commercials on TV? Oh my goodness. Take this drug and you won't be depressed no more. You'll have diarrhea. You'll have problems. They go through about a list of options of all kind of things that you possibly could get. I think I'd rather be depressed. I'm going to be depressed anyway, you know. I'm not putting down things that medicine that we need, but it's just amazing to me the side effects that come when we walk away from God. That's for the point I'm trying to make. Do you know about who you are in God? Do you know that God is good? Do you know that God has a place for you? I don't know about you, but I have to say this honestly. I never have been good on my own. I need to be accountable. How many of you know that sometimes when we do things in our own strength, and Paul says it best. He says, I do the things I don't want to do, and I don't do the things I want to do. You ever read that one? Has that ever felt like you sometimes? You kind of feel like you're going through life, and you're doing things you don't want to do, but you don't do things that you really want to do. What's up with that? Of course, if you read on, you find out it's the sin nature that's born in all of us. We have the sinful nature, but Jesus Christ came that we might have life and give it to us. Oh, wow. Do you know that God is so good? So we ask these questions, why? Why? Watch this. Let's get back to my scriptures this morning because I need to get to it. Hallelujah. 2 Chronicles 15:5. And in those days there was no peace because no one went out and no one came in. Great turmoil was on the inhabitants of the land. Their trouble, they couldn't fix it. They tried to fix it themselves. They couldn't do it. And they couldn't get anybody else to do it because you know what? How many of you tried, you know, somebody, especially religious people, they go to church and they want to tell you what you should be doing. You know what you should do? You should do this, that, and the other. And you tried that and it didn't work. Why? Because you just did this, that, and the other. The idea is about a relationship with Jesus. Amen? You know, the word says to repent and make things right. You tried other things and it was not successful. Say, but Jesus. So watch this, verse 3. He gave him 3 reasons for this calamity. You heard him earlier. Excuse me. They were without a true God. They was without a teaching priest. And it was without law. I know some of y'all hesitated and paused when I said about without the teaching priest. And right away you wanted to jump on that. See? It says of churches. Well, aren't you a part of church? You remember what I talked about earlier about that coach that was on the sideline going, John, y'all got to hurry up. Man. Some of us just want to sit on the sideline and fuss and complain and point. Well, you know what? If you're so good about it, then get involved and start preaching it. Hallelujah. How many of you know you're all called to be priests? Oh, not me, brother. That's your job. No, I'm not talking about just right here in the pulpit. I'm talking everywhere we go. We're called to be a witness, a testimony. God said, go. Say, go. Into all the world. That's he's talking to the body. Say, body. To the body of Christ. He's talking to us. Sometimes we want to point the fingers. Quit pointing. Start doing. Say, do. We got to get busy about the kingdom. We're about busy about our Father's business. Amen. Without a true God. Let me back up now. Without a true God. Watch this. Sometimes we have these things called false gods or otherwise known as idols. Sometimes we have a lot of things that we put before God in our life. We are too busy to get bogged down with the things of God because I got to do this. I got to make money. I got to succeed. I got to buy a new car. I got to have a boat. I want a motorbike. I want to do this. I want to do that. I want to do the other. I need to retire. And then we die. How many of you know we can be too busy about all this stuff? And God saying, whoa, say whoa. Saying, whoa, slow up. Pay attention. That's what happened to these people. They had no true God. They didn't worship God as God. They had idols. They had things prioritized. We need to start prioritizing our life. What's really important to us? What's really important? How many of you know our relationship with God should be number one. How is that in your life? I'll just leave that alone. Without a teaching, a priest. Here we go. Back to that one. 2 Timothy. Oh, let me give you a scripture. Galatians 4:8. I'm not going to read the whole scripture. I'm just going to say these gods that they were worshiping was not gods at all. So these things that we put in front of Jesus, things that we put in front of God, things we put in front of our relationship with God, they're not really important. It's just stuff that we've allowed to fill our gap, our vacuum, our place, our God place in our life. Back to without priest. 2 Timothy 4:3 says, you've heard the scripture, they in the last days they'll heap up teachers that'll tickle their ears and tell them what they want to hear. There's a lot of folks. Now, here you go. Watch this. The false teaching falls into the same place. A lot of us are looking for the false teaching. We want you to lie to us. We want you to tell us what? We want you to tell us what we want to hear. Just tell me what I want to hear. Don't tell me what the scripture says. Don't you go and start just preaching Bible. I need you to tell me what I want to hear. And if you don't, I go someplace else. False churches. Churches of our own choosing. Well, if they don't do what I want to do, I'll go somewhere else. Well, probably why it's pretty empty in here, because I always tell people, bye, see ya. Because if you don't want to hear the Bible, if you don't hear the Word of God, you might as well start going somewhere else, because I love the Lord God Almighty, and I'm going to preach out of the Bible. Say Bible. And we can choose to follow God, or we can choose to do things in our own way, in our own understanding, in our own thoughts. Do I trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean out on your... Say om. Whenever I want to go Instead, where do I... Watch this. We go where we want to go instead of where God wants us to go. Now, I'm going to pause real quick. I got to hurry up and tell you a story. About 22 years ago, they had a split in this church. They had problems. They had a lot of problems. People were trying to decide what's going on. People, we had like 300 folks in here, something like that. A lot of folks, good, wealthy, rich folks. And all of a sudden there come a turmoil came, and there was a stirring going on. And all of a sudden people were just frustrated, and they didn't really pray. Say pray. They didn't really pray. They just wanted what they wanted. Now, I'm here to tell you, many a nights, my wife and myself laid in our own bed and cried and wept and saying, what the heck is going on? I've never been through a divorce. One and only wife I ever had. Hallelujah. I've never been through a divorce, but the closest I could imagine what a divorce feels like is that when that church split, man, people we loved, honored, respected, lifted up on, ooh, they mighty warriors of God. All of a sudden, they were doing things that I was like, what? They didn't follow the scripture. They didn't do what they were called to do. The apostle of this church came in and said, tell you what, guys, let's take a week and pray about this and come back in 1 week and we'll see what God has to say. I said to myself, wow, what a great thing that is to do. That was on like a Sunday evening. Monday morning, there was a phone tag going on. Everybody was quitting. They didn't want to pray. They didn't want God's will. What? Like I said earlier, my wife and I laid in bed, cried and wept and trying to figure out what are we going to do? Should we follow the crowd? Or should we follow Jesus? Both of us agreed, because one of the things we always try to do, sometimes I'm a little stubborn and I have to be convinced. How many of you are stubborn? Don't raise your hand. Sometimes we try to pray and we won't move until we agree in prayer that this is what God is saying. Because sometimes, listen, have you ever been deceived? Have you ever been fooled? Sometimes you can be deceived. Sometimes you can be fooled. Sometimes you can think God said it when he didn't say it. I've seen a lot of that happen. But what I'm saying is that was 38 years ago. No, 40, I don't know, a long time ago. There we go. A long time ago that happened. And from that day to this, I know where God called me to be. I know what God called me to do. It's amazing how many people will come up after service or during church or whatever, call me up on the phone and say, you know, Pastor, what y'all should do there? I stop them right away. I say, hold on. First of all, if you're saying, y'all, you're not a part of this, I don't want nothing to do with what you got to say. What? You know what y'all need to do at that church? Well, you're not a part of the body of Christ? Well, then I don't want to hear what you have to say. You know what you should do? No, I know what I should do. Anoint you to have the ministry of whatever it is you want me to do. Hallelujah. Ha. You ready for that? Because I believe that if God's called you to do something, immediately you want the pastor to do it, or the elders to do it, or the church to do it. You know what I think's a great idea? How many of you know God has a bunch of great ideas? And he's called you. He's called you. Say me. Oh, y'all scared to say that. False churches. Doing what you want done. Doing what you think should be done. I don't know about you, but it's time for us to repent and ask the Lord, Lord, not my will be done. And without laws in that last thing. False rules, James says, but be doers. Say doers. James 1 and 22 says, be doers of the word and not just hearers only. What does it say? Deceiving yourself. My truth. This is what I get a kick out of today. A lot of you times you hear this. Well, my truth is, I mean, no, you don't get the qualified truth. Truth is an absolute. It is truth. It's truth all the time for everyone, no matter where you're at. That's truth. If it's your truth, then I guess it's called a lie. The rules. I decide what I want to believe. Oh, you can choose what you want to believe, and that's called free will, and you have every right to do that. But let me just tell you, in case you didn't realize this, there is consequences. Say consequences. 1 Corinthians 1 Corinthians 10 and 23 says, all things are lawful for me, not all things are beneficial. Does our race trump God's word? Does our politics trump God's word? Does science trump God's word? Do we trump God's word? God is so awesome. He wants to talk to your heart this morning. He wants to pull you around something. Watch this. But when in their troubles, listen to the rest of the scripture, they turned to the Lord God of Israel and sought him. You see, we got to go after God. When you turn from your troubles, when you turn and go after the Lord God of Israel and seek him, and they sought him, listen what it says. They found him. They found him, Mike. They found him. When we seek God's heart, when we seek God's will, when we desire to do what he's called us to do, guess what's going to happen? You're going to find him. You're going to know that he's speaking to your heart. Oh, there's a lot of folks running around trying to make noise. There's a lot of folks trying to be churchy. There's a lot of people just trying to do something. They boogity, boogity, boogity on that little treadmill. They're making a lot of noise. But I'm here to tell you, when you truly want to seek God, you'll give up all of the stuff. You want to fill Jesus in your space, in your vacuum, in your void. Watch what the scripture says. James chapter 4 and 7 says, therefore, submit. Oh, that's the word we don't like. Submit, there you go. It says, submit to God, say God. Resist the devil, say resist him. When the devil comes in like a flood, raise up. When the devil comes in, say, wait, devil. You don't have no authority here. Let me step away. Let me step away from you. Resist the devil. And what? He will flee from you. Draw near. Say near. Draw near to God and he will. Oh, how many of you are ready to get a little closer to God this morning? Cleanse ye hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Lament, mourn, and weep. What is it saying there? Get serious. Realize that repentance is important. We need to come to an understanding that when we do things wrong, there's consequences to it. Sometimes we get caught up in this worldly stuff. And I'm here to tell you, quit looking around. Quit looking around all the stuff. Jesus is here this morning. And he's speaking to your heart. Lament, mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy into gloom. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. Watch this. And he will lift you up. Oh, if you want to be lifted up this morning by the Lord God Almighty, stand on your feet. And let me pray for you. Father, we come into your presence this morning. Lord, we know that as we repent, we will find Jesus. As we draw near to you, Lord, you draw near to us. Lord, we're tired of playing the game of church. We're tired of playing the game of life. We're rolling the dice. We're spinning the dice. We're rolling the dice. We're trying to figure out where it's going to land. Jesus, we know that in you all things are possible. All things are possible through Jesus Christ, who strengthens us. So when we come into your presence, Lord, your word says it's fullness of joy. So, Father, we just come to you. We fly to you, as the song says. We put off the old man. We put off the old stuff, the old nature, the old desires of the flesh. We realize that, Lord, we've been thinking wrong. We've been thinking wrong. So, Father, we repent right now. We come into your presence, Lord, where your spirit is. We come into your presence this morning, Lord. Jesus, we see you high and lifted up. Oh, Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you for your vision, Lord. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your will. Lord, we just separate ourselves from our will, what we think we want to do. And Lord, we surrender to what you want us to do. Let's just come to Jesus this morning and live. Hallelujah. Now
your burdens lifted.
Just listen.
And carried far away. And precious blood has washed away the stain. So sing to Jesus.
Oh, come on, sing to him.
Sing to Jesus.
And give him glory.
Sing to Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father.
Like a newborn baby, don't be afraid.
Born again.
And remember when you walk, sometimes we fall.
Oh, sometimes.
So
sometimes.
Fall on Jesus.
Fall on you, Jesus.
Fall on Jesus. Fall on Jesus. And live. Sometimes the way is lonely and steep and filled with pain. So if your sky is dark and pours the rain, and cry to Jesus, cry to Jesus, cry to Jesus, and live.
Father, I thank you.
Oh, and when the love spills over and music fills the night, when you can't contain your joy inside, then dance for Jesus, dance for Jesus, dance for Jesus, and live.
Hallelujah, Father, we thank you, Jesus. We just come before you. We want to live. We want to live life, oh God. We don't want to do things same old. We want to live for you. We give you glory and honor and praise. We thank you for the word that you brought to us this morning. Lord, however you brought it, we give you glory and honor and praise in Jesus' name. And everyone here said amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. I love you. I hope you had a good time. If you got kids in children's church,